Your call is now live.
Awesome. Thank you, Carrie. Hey, everybody. I'm so excited about tonight. You guys just did a fantastic job building your business, talking to people last week. I want to share some numbers with you. But welcome to the start of week three of the prospecting and closing workshop. This is the day that's focused on prospecting. I know Carrie's going to turn off those beeps in just a second here. And anyway, you guys did a fantastic job last week, and I just want to say congratulations to all of you out there that are doing something for your business and doing more than you've probably ever done. You guys are the real superstars, and I'm really proud of what you're accomplishing. I also want to acknowledge that, you know, there are some people out there that are probably on this call feeling really terrible that they haven't done a whole lot since they started this call or this workshop. And, you know, I see your numbers, and I see that there are several of you that are, you know, you're hanging out in the class, and you're getting some good information and everything like that. But believe me when I tell you this, that when you take what you learn in these classes and go to work, even if it's a couple of calls, even if it's those first brutal first calls, that's where you really get it. That's where it sinks in. That's where it becomes part of you. And it's so critical that you do go to work. We are thinking about you. We are doing everything we can to encourage you. And I hope that you're excited about what you've got in front of you, the opportunity that you have. And believe me, there will not be a better time for you to pick up the phone than first thing tomorrow morning, right after this class, or even tonight if you're on the West Coast, and start talking to people. There's not going to be a time you're going to have more people encouraging you. There's not going to be a time when you have more support. So this is the week to put down the hammer and just go for it. And imagine coming in a week from tonight with Danny Johnson on the call live and being proud of the numbers that you have put up on the board. So please, 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 if you've gotten off to a slow start, don't let that bother you. Tomorrow's a new day. I want you to start strong tomorrow and just go for it. Make it ugly, make it messy, but get it done, and you're going to have a ton of fun doing it, and you're going to see some amazing growth in your business. All right, let's dive into some of these numbers. You guys have just done some awesome stuff. Actually, before I dive into that, I do a couple quick announcements on First Steps to Success coming up in Burbank, California. Sorry about that. Alyssa just let me know the other day that the hotel room block is filling up, so I sent out an email to the Super Friends today with the dial-in numbers for that. So go check out that email, and if you're going to be at the Burbank First Steps to Success, which I assume most of you are, with people, because that is your logical next step if you're serious about building your business, and you want to get those rooms booked as quickly as you possibly can. And then also check out, of course, the Smarter Networker early bird bonuses we've got going on for both you and your guests. I've got a lot of fun stuff going on for that. All right, let's get into our top producers. This week, as a whole, you guys increased your dials by over 500 dials, almost 17,000 dials last week, and that is a great number. I'd love to see this group hit 20,000 in 1 week. I think you guys can do it. Your conversations were at 1,563. Again, you can't really control that number. It was down slightly, but the good news was that you brought an additional, about 150 people to a presentation. So even though you talked to fewer people, you converted those to the presentation at a better rate than you did last week. So a big increase in that, and that's a great sign that your prospecting skills are improving. We just added the follow-up number. A lot of you guys are getting your people through the presentation and reading the follow-up scripts, which is great. And your enrolling was down a little bit, though, surprisingly. So I'm sure that you're all looking forward to Stacy's closing class coming up on Thursday night. But you still had great numbers, 18 new business partners amongst the group here and 45 new customers. And I've also talked to a lot of you who say you've got people in the pipeline more than you ever had. And it does take a little while sometimes to get your pipeline full and good new customers and business builders coming out of the other end. So that is awesome. I know you guys are going to come back next week and probably put up a number that's bigger, you know, over 100 people. But the important thing was, really, is that you more than doubled your income last week as a group. And that's exciting. You guys made almost $4,500. And we've got a few people in this group that are doing some really high-dollar commission deals, and I've actually pulled them out because they're skewing the numbers so badly. But when you look at the comparing apples to apples, you guys more than doubled your income, which is really, really exciting. So congratulations to all of you for your success this week. We do have some top producers as well, and we're going to share those people with you. And our top dialers, the people that made the most number of phone calls, Patty Stewart, once again, 1,060 dials this week. She dials a lot of dials every day and every single day and just does an awesome job at that. Diana Hightower in the lukewarm market. She is the second week in a row. She's been number one this week, up in her game a little bit at 228 dials. Congratulations, Diana. And then Amanda Young in the warm market, 445 dials. That's epic for a warm market dialing. So congratulations to all you guys for doing the work. That's fantastic. The people that talk to the most people, Teresa Bradley in the cold market arena, she did 94 conversations, did a great job. Emma Carrillo, 22 conversations in lukewarm. And then Paul Carroll with 30 conversations in the warm market. So congratulations to all you guys for getting a hold of a ton of people. And then bringing people to presentations. Now, this is obviously an important indication of your skill set in being able to convert a conversation into a presentation. And Lily O'Brien and Diane McGuigan, fresh back from Israel, didn't waste any time getting back to work, put up 30 presentations last week. Congratulations, both of you, tied for first. Emma Carrillo, all lukewarm, converted 22 of her conversations. 50% of those went to a presentation, so she had 11 presentations, which is fantastic. And then Paul Carroll, 18 presentations out of his 30 conversations. So congratulations to you guys for that. And I'm going to hold off on the most enrolled for next week. Let Laura handle that on Thursday. So you guys can hear who enrolled the most amount of people, but you had some great enrolling. And really what it was this time was a lot of people enrolling somebody. So we had a lot of new enrollees and a lot of people with one and two, which is great because that's really what we're looking for, is that everybody has some awesome success in their home-based business and start experiencing what it takes to get some people into your business so you know what to expect going forward. So super excited about that. So you guys have just done an awesome job and really jumping onto this, getting your money's worth out of this class and put it into work. And that's what's going to make it work for you. Tonight, again, Jackie O'Quinn is going to come in and really, you know, his goal tonight is to talk to as many, you know, role play with as many people as possible. But he's always got so many great little nuggets that just kind of come out naturally. And so it's super important that you turn off the distractions. Get out of the Super Friends group. Get off of Facebook. Turn off the internet. Turn off the television, anything else. You don't need any of that stuff. You need a paper and pencil, and you need this phone call. And just be taking notes, because tonight I know Jackie is going to over-deliver, as he always does, and I know he's been studying these numbers all day, and he's really excited about what he's seeing here, and he's going to give you guys some awesome training tonight. So welcome, Mr. O'Quinn.
Thank you very much, Brian. I appreciate it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for everything that you do for all of us over at Smarter Networker. You're guiding the ship over there. You're doing a fantastic job. We wouldn't have the same businesses that we have today if it wasn't for Smarter Networker and the part that you're playing. So thank you so much for that, and thank you for putting these numbers together. I wish you guys could see the crazy amount of stuff he sends me in an email. Probably him and someone else, but because this is entirely too much work to be able to track all this stuff and to organize it. And it shows me how much work they're doing behind the scenes over there, for all of us. Sure, we paid to be in this class and all that stuff, but he's doing everything he can to make certain that we're able to help all of you the best that we can. He wants to see you succeed, wants to see your businesses grow. And ultimately, Brian and Danny Johnson have a very common passion, and that is they're very passionate about people. They want to see people succeed. They want to see, you know, the world, you know, this world that we're in improve, get better. And the only way to do that is a bit of a grassroots movement. And the home business industry is nothing but kind of a grassroots entrepreneurial movement. I mean, that is exactly what it is. I mean, it got started person to person, belly to belly, right across the kitchen table from one another. I mean, like, some of you are still building in that way, and I think that's beautiful. Where else can you make literally $1 million-plus working across the kitchen table? But you can't get much, much more grassroots than that. And it's about creating a system and following a system and promoting a system to be able to help people reach freedom, to be able to create their own stability, their own security, to help people live their greater life's purpose. That's what it's all about. That's what you're working for. That's what you're here for. So thank you, Smarter Networker. Thank you, Brian Niederhaus. Thank you for all that you do. And thank you to all of you that are here. you know, I'm looking at these numbers and I'm really blown away. I've been in this industry for a long time now. It feels like yesterday, but I guess it's been a long time. It's been over a decade now. And I've learned that the reality is this industry is truly built on a bunch of loyal customers of products that have a belief that they're going to one day build something. But many of them don't ever put it into practice. But looking at these numbers, looking at this class, most of you are putting it into practice. You're making more phone calls. You're reading the script more. You're getting inviting more people to presentations. You're talking to more warm market, lukewarm market. Like, you're really putting yourself out there. You're really, you have a goal. You're on a mission to be able to create something for yourself and your family. And although all of us are in different companies with different products, and the products that are in this class absolutely run the gamut of everything. It's unbelievable. But we all have a common goal. Yep, the truth is we're all competitors, but we have a common goal. And that's what's so beautiful about the whole Danny Johnson training model. It's is being able to be a part of something that is that a bunch of like-minded people. And let's face it, when you go to a First Step Success event and you're in that room and you're plugging in that training and you're taking notes, most of us don't have people in our family that think the same way that we do. Most of our friends, if we're really honest with ourselves, don't think the same way that we do. Most of the people we go to church with, most of the people that we work on the job with, don't think the same way that we do. Well, when you show up at a First Step Success event, you're with people that are serious. Same thing on this class, but you're with people that are serious. You're with people that are focused. You have people that are working with a purpose. You have people that have big goals, big dreams, people that know that they're supposed to be somebody, people that want to be somebody. But you're not, none of you are sitting on the sidelines waiting for someone to give you something. You're stepping up to the plate. You're making it happen. You're chasing your dreams full force, and that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I'm going to role play with as many people as I can tonight. I wanted to quickly just run over some things that I saw the Facebook Super Friends group, and I saw different questions coming up, and I just kind of wanted to address some things on there, but I wanted to bring them to this class and just kind of highlight some stuff that I saw today. Some of it was really basic. So I want to make certain that if you're on the class that I'm teaching, that you're at least aware of this before you're leaving the class. So here's some tips for you. Brian said that the percentage of, that you can't always control the people who pick up the telephone, and he's exactly right about that. But I'm going to give you some tips of some things that you can do to help improve the number of people that pick up the phone when you call. Okay? Would you like some tips? Would you like to know how to talk to more people with the same amount of advertising? Okay, good. So here's what you want to do. First of all, you want to get as many real-time, you want to order as much real-time advertising as you can. And I'm going to just give you a little bit of truth here. I've been doing this for over 10 years, and even when I got started with no money, I have called 99.999999% exclusive real-time advertising. And part of it is because that's what I was taught when I got started. Like, that's what, you know, my mentor, whatever, in my business, my home business, that's what they had recommended. Now, later, Danny talked about, hey, getting started with some age leads just to get your feet wet, just to get the mechanics wet, and that is true. There's nothing wrong with that. You can do that. To this day, I still teach my new people to get started with real-time advertising, and I'm going to tell you, if you are using aged leads, meaning they're a week old or 30 days old or 9 months old, they're great for getting them. They're dirt cheap. You can buy them for pennies. But there's a reason they're dirt cheap. It's almost as good as call. I mean, it's just a little bit better than picking up the phone and calling out of the phone book. Because you got to think about it. At some point in time, this person was interested in the idea of working from home. At some point in time. Guess what? There's some silly number, like one-third of all adult Americans will look into a home business at some point in their lifetime. So there's a pretty good shot if you call the phone book, that person probably looked at some point as well. So age data, let me make this point better. When you call them back and you say, hey, you're requesting more info about working from home, what can I do for you? They probably aren't going to remember, even if it was a week ago. That's not going to be the most positive conversation because they feel like you're calling them and it's unsolicited, meaning they don't remember requesting this info. That is okay. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. You just need to know what you're calling. You need to expect it. You're going to build up some thicker skin, that's for sure. But most importantly, if you're calling age leads, It's going to give you a chance to be able to work the mechanics. It's going to give you a chance to be able to practice that script. And so there's nothing necessarily wrong with it. But as soon as you feel like, you know, you've had enough, you're ready to have some better conversations and you want to be able to talk to more people with less phone calls, then what you want to do is you want to order real-time advertising. And you want to order as many as you can, as much advertising as you can in real time, preferably all of it, once you get done with your initial practice. If you choose to practice with age data, I'm not telling you to necessarily that you have to do it with age leads. You can get started with real-time leads if you want to. It's your business. But here's the key. Even when you get real-time leads, there's a statistic out there that it's really high. Someone posted it in the Superfriends group, and I've heard that before. It's like 80 or 85 or 75%. A very large percentage of all leads purchased through an advertising agency for the home business industry don't ever even get called. That's probably not even correct English, but that's okay. They don't ever get called. So keep that in mind. With that being said, when you order advertising, oftentimes the advertising is shared. Like two or three people will get it within the same company. Now, I got to tell you, this is one of my secrets. And this is how you know I want to see you succeed, because you and I are probably buying the same advertising. You and I are probably getting some of the same leads. But I have an advantage over you. And that is that I realize that it can be competitive. Like, so a lot of times your leads will be sold to one or two or three people, but they're all from different companies. So every now and again, you'll call someone and they'll say, oh yeah, I already spoke to somebody. Well, you can still work around that. I can give you tips on that if it comes up tonight. But just know that if your leads tell you, oh, I might have already spoke to someone, chances are it was me. Because I'm going to call my leads as close to real time as possible. I don't even want them to sit in my email for even an hour. Like, I want to call them right away. So, and if you do that, they remember requesting info. And that's the biggest key, is that they remember requesting the information. If they request information in the morning and you don't call them back till that evening, they were requesting information at work when they were screwing around on the computer, when they were supposed to be doing their job that they hate. And they saw some form that said, you know, request more info about working from home or something, and they put in their info. You didn't call them at night. They're home with their family. You're like, you request more information about working from home. They're thinking, no, I didn't. I'm here with the kids. Oh, you requested this morning. Oh, this morning. Then all sorts of things come up. Why you took so long to get a hold of me? Maybe I already spoke to somebody else. Or I don't even know if I remember doing anything online this morning. Like, that was a long time ago. That was this morning. So when you call someone in real time, you're going to get a far better response and you're going to be more likely to put them through that script. And if they're on the computer right now requesting information, chances are you're not going to have to worry about catching them when they're driving on the highway, when they're at the kids' football game. Why? Because they just filled out a form online. So your contact ratio is going to be higher just for that reason alone. Now, another thing that came up is people were talking about how many times do you call your leads and how long do you wait to call your leads, et cetera. So I'm going to tell you what I've learned from Vanny, and this is what I do. First of all, I do not subscribe to the school of thought that says call your leads forever until, you know, they tell you not to call them anymore. Again, that is an exercise in frustration. It is not the best use of your time. Do not do that. When people recommend that, and sometimes companies recommend that, let me just tell you why they're saying that. They're saying it because they understand that a very large percentage of distributors are really just preferred customers or wholesale customers. They know that. And they know that as long as they can keep them as happy customers, they're going to keep buying products forever. But if they tell them to go advertise, you know, a whole lot and spend a lot of money on advertising, they know that most people are going to make, you know, they're going to make an order of advertising. They'll call through them once. They're like, yeah, it doesn't work. And they're never going to call them again. They know that most people aren't going to advertise professionally, nor are they going to work professionally. They're going to do a lot of really small part-time work. So if they can tell them to do something to stay busy, they know that they'll feel productive. The average distributor, the average wholesale distributor will feel productive. They'll stick around for a long time. They'll take the products for a long time. They'll hang out on conference calls and things like that. There's nothing wrong with that. When you hear that kind of verbiage like, oh, just call them to tell you not to call them again, sometimes it's coming from a place of where they're a little bit fearful to tell someone what it really takes to succeed, because they don't want them to quit or to have a bad taste in their mouth about the company. Now, most of you on this call, you're like, tell me what to do to succeed. I just want to succeed. So I'm going to tell you how to work advertising and the proper way that to get the best use of your time. And this is it. You want to call all of your leads three times at least. And you want to do it within a 24-hour period. Now, if you're the type of person that you work a day job and you have you're only available in the evenings, like to make phone calls, then that's fine. Call them, you know, like call someone, you get a lead on Monday night, call them Monday night right away, then call them Tuesday night and Wednesday night, and then be done with it. You want to call them at least three times. You want to read the script. If you get a voicemail, you're going to leave the script on page, let me tell you exactly what page it's on. 20 of the regular script book. The voice is titled voicemail script. You call the first time, you get a voicemail, you leave that script. When you call the second time, you don't leave a message. When you call the third time, you leave the script on page. Sorry, I was closing earlier. I got my objection scripts out. Oh. I was looking at it the whole time. Wow. Page 54 of the supplemental script book, voicemail to leave on the third try. So you call them once, you leave a voicemail on page 20 out of the regular script book. You call them the second time, you don't leave a message. You call them the third time, leave the message, voicemail to leave on third try. And then you don't ever call them again unless for some reason they ever call you or reach back out to you. Literally, you just call the next person. There's somebody out there that's going to say, yes, but I've called my leads five times and I've got good responses. I've called my leads eight times and I've reached people. Listen, you could call all of your leads 500 times and I promise you at some point on the, you know, you're going to reach some people on the 500th dial. It's just the way that it works. But it's about getting the, it's about efficiency of your time. So that's the key, and your money, by the way. It's about how can you speak to the most people in the shortest amount of time. This business is about leverage, and the quicker you can speed up the activity in your business, the leverage grows exponentially. Meaning if you bring just one person in business each month, you can do that. Or you can bring just four people, or you can bring four people in business each month. Now, if you just play around with the numbers sometimes on a piece of paper and just look at that, imagine bringing one person in business and that one person brings one in business. And you only bring in one new person each month. At the end of the year, at the end of 5 years, at the end of 10 years, just imagine, just play with it on paper sometime and look at how your business is going to grow. But if you bring in four people in a month into your business and they all just bring one, nothing changes, but you're bringing in four personally each and every month, within a year, 5 years, 10 years, that business grows exponentially faster, like way faster. And quite honestly, the business is a lot more fun when you're talking to people. I was listening to one of the, it's actually a Smarter Networker, the pro member section of one of Danny's calls. At one point in her business, she said that, which we'll get to this in a minute, she said she had so much advertising coming in that some of her leads, she only put in one or two calls. And I'll tell you, one of the areas that you can, as you start making money, you want to use some of that money and invest in advertising. And ultimately, you want to grow your advertising budget, you know, as big as you can manage till you're comfortable. You know, you're working all the hours you want to work and you're reaching your financial goals. So one of the things you can do later on as you're growing your advertising budget is just call them less. You don't have to go buy necessarily more expensive advertising, but you'll see your rate. In other words, when you call your first time through, if you're tracking your numbers, you'll see that you actually talk to a higher percentage of people on those first phone calls than you do those second phone calls. And you talk to more people on that second phone call through than you do your third phone call, and so on and so forth. So later on, if you want to grow your advertising budget, you're like, I'm calling them all three times. I can't afford any more advertising. What do I do? What do I do? Well, just start calling them twice each. You're going to you'll be making the same number of phone calls, and you'll be putting a few more people in the pipeline. So you're going to be doing basically the same work, but you're going to be talking to more people. And by the way, when I say put someone in the pipeline, what that means is you read the script to them. They're in your prospecting pipeline or your, you know, whatever. They're in your pipeline. That's what I mean by that. You've read the script to them. And the goal is to read that script to as many people as you can as quickly and as efficiently as possible. Now, I want to clarify something for a minute. People say, well, you know, I don't want to get hung up on this, but people say, you know, what if I can't afford advertising? What if I can't afford? Okay, listen. You're in business, so it's time to treat it like a business. I understand that all of us, you know, I told a story last week about, you know, my pickle jar or whatever. That is a true story, by the way. But it doesn't matter what you're doing. If advertising the issue, go to your warm market and lukewarm market. You know, if you're passing out flyers, pass out flyers. But don't play around. Don't listen. The goal is you want to be reading that script as many times as possible. A lead, by the way, so what is a lead? When I say you want to have as many leads as possible, a lead can be your warm market list. A lead can be, you know, numbers you've gotten from doing lukewarm marketing. A lead could be calls from flyers or whatever. It could be a response to an ad somewhere that you placed. I don't know. I don't recommend doing a lot of that. In fact, it's important to keep in mind that you are not a marketer. You're a business builder. You're a business developer. Marketers don't make near the amount of money that you can make as a general rule. You're building a long-term customer base that's going to be leveraged from other people's efforts and is going to continue to grow consistently month in, month out, as long as you have an organization that's going to work. And that income can grow staggering. I mean, the top earners in our industry, you know, are making more than $1 million in a single flipping month. So marketers, advertisers, as a general rule, don't make that kind of money. Don't even have the ability to earn that kind of income. But all of us on this line have that kind of ability in this business model. So you don't want to be an advertiser. You don't want to be a marketer. You want to be the person who's outsourced everybody else to do your marketing and advertising. So how do you do that? Well, obviously that's what EarnPro is, for example. And there's other advertising companies out there. EarnPro is a good one. Not all of them out there are good, by the way. Also, if you're going to do flyers or whatever, I will tell you this. Flyers are fine. It's easy to do it. It's quick. Danny's done it. It's easy to teach. It's easy to duplicate. There's not a big learning curve. You just have to go out and do it. You just have to do it. The key to flyers is normally you're going to see a 1 or 2% response rate, maybe a 3 or 4% response rate on your flyers, but even 4% is pretty high. So if you want to read that script 10 times, then you need to be passing out enough flyers to get 10 to 15 phone calls, because not everybody who calls your number is going to necessarily go, you're going to be able to read the script to. So keep that in mind. Danny Johnson, you know, people talk about, wow, how did she make $1 million in 2 years? Well, if you listen to her training, she was passing out, when she talked about the flyer system, she was passing out 1,000 flyers at a time. If you're going to pass out 100 flyers or 200 flyers, that's kind of like ordering and getting 2 or 3 leads to come in from EarnPro. If you only got 2 or 3 leads coming in from EarnPro, I mean, that's just not going to get you where you want to go. Like, it's just not. You need to be getting 10, 20, 30. Jackie, I can't afford that much yet. Then fine, supplement. But know that you're in business. If you really want to build this business, that's where you need to get to. You need to have, I mean, you don't want to have lead deficit disorder, okay? That's what Danny calls it, lead deficit disorder, LDD. LDD, here's what LDD is. LDD is when you start thinking about, how can I go create my own advertising? Oh, you're currently in LDD. If you have time to think about that, then you don't have enough leads coming in. LDD is, let me go ahead and get organized here, you know, because right now while my leads aren't coming in, let me do this. You're in LDD. That's, you got to solve that. The quickest way to solve it is to get more advertising. Anytime you're sitting around in your office and you're not able to pick up that phone and call somebody to prospect them, then you are currently in LDD. You've got time to go check out a different home business opportunity than the one you're currently in because you somehow think it's going to be easier, and it's just not. It's like Danny says, the grass always looks green on the other side, but you still have to cut it. Then if you have time to do that when you're in your office and you're supposed to be building your current business, then you're currently in LDD. You've got to get out of lead deficit disorder. And maybe that's calling through your warm market. Maybe that's, you know, expanding your warm market list, whatever it is. For most of you, it's buying more advertising. I mean, it really is. That's the quickest, fastest way to do it. And if you're not going to do that, go pass out, you know, 1,000 more flyers, literally. You'll probably get home and you'll have phone calls. But don't go – there's nothing – I mean, I've been a part of that flyer group. I've watched it just because I wanted to see what people were doing over there. And, you know – honestly, just to be really honest with you, and I know some of you are going to be over there, and, you know, if I step on your toes and hurt your feelings, I'm sorry, but here's the truth. When you go over there and you're like, oh, I'll just pass out 100 flyers, that's great. You just got a part-time hobby that might make you $50, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's what it is. Don't think you're building a six-figure income because you went and passed out 100 flyers or even 200 flyers. You need to be passing out hundreds of flyers per day to even have 2 or 3 hours worth of work in your own business as far as actually talking to people. So keep that in mind. You don't want to be an LDD. Do whatever it takes. You should avoid LDD like you are trying to avoid the plague. Whatever it takes to have people to talk to, you want to be talking to people. All right. Let's get this rolling. Oh, so if you have the time, like you have maybe your stay-at-home mom or whatever, and you have time to talk to people, I would recommend, or if you're full-time in your own business, I would recommend that you call your leads. You can call them up to 3 times in a single day, literally, within a single, you know, day, like morning, afternoon, evening if you wanted. Normally for me, most of the time I end up calling them twice the first day they come in, and then I'll call them the third time the next day. I do not even get caught up on, did I call them once in the morning, once in the afternoon, once in the evening? I don't have time for that. I've got too many leads coming in. I'm just calling through them as quickly as possible, making certain that I give at least 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, between phone calls. Now, normally, that's a morning call and an evening call, and I might call them the next morning. Or it might be a morning call, afternoon call. I might call them the next morning and leave that third message. And then I call it archive, but that's just my word. I move them out of my way. Last week, I was talking about, this came up a lot, I was talking about autoresponders or whatever. Listen. People were asking questions, what if we don't have an autoresponder? What if our companies don't provide that, blah, 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 blah? Then don't worry about it. Do not get caught up trying to figure all that out. It's not necessary. It's going to cost you more time and more money. It's going to make you feel productive and feel useful because you think you're doing something that you really need to do. But I promise you, if it's taking you away from talking to people, don't do it. Here's what you can do instead that is far more effective than any form of electronic communication. When you send emails, the autoresponder thing works if it's mostly passive for you, meaning you don't do anything for it. Like in our organization, it kind of does its own thing. Like you don't really do a whole lot with it. That's a good thing because you don't ever need to spend a lot of time on it. It just doesn't work that way. It's not the best use of your time. So what you can do, and what's even better, Danny talks about sending out thank you cards. I would tell you that when you talk to people, you get a new customer on board, or even if you don't get a new customer, you have a great conversation with someone and they don't get started. If you've got their address, and you might not have their address, and that's okay, but you will get some people's address just by them signing up, being new customers or whatever. Start building an address database and send out cards at least quarterly. And it can be a simple postcard. It doesn't have to be anything great. And even if they don't get started with you, or even if they get started, but they get started at like cheap $25 level where you don't make any money, it doesn't matter. Send them cards, and at least quarterly. Of course, around the holidays, send out cards. But this is something that I have done, and I haven't been nearly as consistent as I should be in my business. But here's the advantage of cards. It helps build trust in a way that electronic communication does not. Not everybody gets their email or sees their email, but everybody will end up getting a card in the mail or postcard. And if it's personal, if it's handwritten, and by the way, I don't even care if it's the same message that you send to everybody. Literally. People will keep your cards forever. I have gotten thank you cards for thank you cards that I've sent people. And oftentimes I'll send out little inspirational cards, like postcards and stuff. And people save that stuff. They'll tell me. I've had people tell me, hey, I've got 2 cards here that I've been saving. And I'm thinking, gosh, when did I send them a card last? It was like a year ago, 2 years ago, and they still got 2 of them. So, you know, people hold on to that stuff. That means something. It's not the kind of thing that you're going to see a massive response with right away. But that's even better than trying to keep up with an autoresponder. Create your little database. Get you a little notebook. And when every single customer you bring on board, no matter where they start, write their name and information down. And if you are buying advertising, some advertising, I don't know if EarnPro has it, but some advertising, when the lead will actually have the street address, then that's even better. You know, you can take a couple hours a month maybe and just compile all that and save it if you know how to do it electronically or save it, whatever. It doesn't really matter, but just take some time and write out some cards to people and create a kind of a – there's companies online, I think, that might be able to make that easier. But it doesn't matter. Just send out occasional cards. Dani Johnson, personally, as busy as she is, She writes business, thank you cards almost every day of her life. She's constantly writing cards, constantly. In fact, she said from First Steps before that on her airplane trips, as much as she travels, she's oftentimes just writing thank you cards nearby the entire flight because she understands the importance of that personal connection with people. And that's really the whole purpose in things like autoresponders and stuff. It's a way of staying in touch with people. So there you go. Do it. If you can't do it online easily, don't waste a brain cell thinking about it. Just do it offline with the old-fashioned handwritten cards. Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and get started, and I want to role play with as many people as I can, and I will probably take some questions as well toward the end of the call. But I'm going to kick this off with start us off with Mary McKenzie. Carrie, if you can, what does Mary need to hit? Star one?
She presses the number one.
Okay. All right, Mary, number one. And Carrie, if you could please bring into the queue or whatever, the room.
Okay. Mary, your line is open.
Hey, Mary, how's it going?
Doing good.
I brought you up here because you're doing a stellar job, absolutely stellar job. You and Patty both, by the way, over 900 dials in a week. That's a professional level of activity. And the thing that will blow people away is you have down here that you worked 29 hours last week. Is that right? Mary, can you hear me? Did we lose Mary?
Yeah, it looks like we did. Let me see if she just got out of queue or if
she was. All right, Mary, hit one if you got out of queue.
No, it does look like she's gone.
Oh, no. I would love to bring her back.
Let's see if she rejoins the call shortly.
Okay.
Mary, if that's you that just joined the call, if you'll press one, we'll get you back in. On the call. Here we go. That was her that just joined. So, Mary, your line's back open.
Hey, Mary.
Sorry about that. I just lost connection.
No worries. It happens. Welcome to Electronic Age.
Thank you.
You said that on your numbers, and correct me if I'm wrong, you made 910 dials last week. Is that correct?
Yes.
Good job. And now here's the thing that is important for people to realize. You did that in 29 hours. You didn't even work a 40-hour work week last week. You're
right.
Still part-time. That is efficiency. Now, I just got to ask you because I know that clearly at 910 dials, you have a lot more experience than maybe other people in this line. When you got started, your first week, because I just want people to get – I don't want them to think you're like a superwoman, Mary. Your first week making phone calls, like what were you doing in your first couple of weeks?
Very, very, very little. I was working two jobs, so I worked 2 hours 2 days a week. So I basically did like 40 dials a week, if that.
Okay. Did you ever think back then you could make 900 dials in a week?
No.
Even when you started like working your business more, I mean, how many hours back then in the beginning, how many dials did you think you could make?
I thought 100 a day was impossible. And I thought 50 would be great.
Mm-hmm. That's good. It's good for people to hear that. That's going to be encouraging to people. Here's the best part. You read that script. Is this right? You read the script 93 times?
I'm looking at it. Yes, I did. I got it right in front of me.
Wow. That's killer. So that's about 10%. 10%. 10%.
I call first leads, so that's why.
Explain that.
I went through a point in my life where I couldn't justify spending the money. I just didn't have it. I had all my credit cards maxed out, and so I called very, very old leads. I mean, like a year old. And I would have had to work 50 hours to be able to get a third of that. I mean, it just was not possible. I mean, but now I go to the call at 8 o'clock, and I get right on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I know that my leads are waiting for me, and I hit it right then and there.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine going back and calling those year-old leads now?
No way. No.
It's just a better conversation, right? Even on the phone. Like, there's something that's good for the psyche, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it does. It affects your mind. I mean, mindset. It makes you discouraged and want to give up sometimes, so that's not going to happen again.
Totally. Mary, you did great. We're going to role play, and I'm going to role play with you for a specific reason. I'm going to be difficult. I'll just tell you. I don't even have to surprise you. And I want you to deal with me. And I know you can because you read the script 93 times in a single week. You have a lot of experience. So I'm certain that you get good people and not so good people. So let's go. You ready?
Okay.
You call me. Ring, ring. Hello?
Hi, Jackie. How's it going?
Good. Who's this?
This is Mary. I'm calling you back. You requested more information about working from home. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I don't think I did that. I don't think I did that.
Really? Let me just double-check my campaign list. You're Jackie O'Quinn in Georgia. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's me.
And your email is blah, 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 blah.
That's me.
Correct? Well, I helped you down that you filled out a form maybe a day or so, and I'm just calling you back to give you the information.
Oh, on the Internet?
What's that?
I did something on the Internet?
Yes, you went online, you filled out a form.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you got?
Okay. You got paper and pencil handy?
Yeah, I do.
Great. Tell me, to save us both time, I'm just going to ask you a few questions to figure out what information to direct you to. Jackie, are you currently working from home now?
Pause. Good job, by the way. Great. I know I got you on the spot here, Mary. Great job. I want to try it again, okay?
Okay.
I'm having fun at your expense, but you did awesome. Okay. Then this is good for people to hear. So you call me up. Ring, ring.
Hello?
Oh, sorry. You call me. Ring, ring. Hello.
Oh, I'm calling you. Okay.
Ring, ring.
Hello, Jackie?
Hi.
Hi, Jackie. How's it going?
It's good. Who's this?
This is Mary. I'm calling you back. You requested more information about working from home. What can I do for you?
You know what? I saw that I might have to pay some money, and I don't really want to. I don't think that's for me.
Well, do you have a paper and pencil handy?
Yeah. Am I going to have to pay for something?
I'll give you the information. If you have paper and pencil handy, I'll give you all your information.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. To save us both time, I just need to ask you a few questions to figure out what information to direct you to. Are you currently working from home now?
Yeah.
What do you do for a living? What are you doing?
I get these surveys in my email and I fill them out. I haven't got anything from it yet, but I'm filling out surveys.
How long have you been doing that?
Oh, I don't know, like a couple weeks.
2 weeks. And how did you get started in that?
I heard about a friend doing it and I just paused. Gosh, Mary, you're an animal. Like, you ain't letting me get away with nothing. Good job.
Oh, okay.
Good job. Good job. All right. Let's try another scenario. Ready?
Okay. Ring, ring.
You call me. Yep. Hello.
Hi, Jackie. How's it going?
Good.
This is Mary. I'm calling you back. You requested more information about working from home. What can I do for you?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to see what's out there.
Okay. Do you have paper and pencil handy?
I can get it.
Great. Let me know when you're ready.
I got it. I got it. I'm ready.
Great. To save us both time, I just need to ask you a few questions to figure out what direction to direct you to.
Okay.
What information to direct you to.
Okay.
Are you currently working from home?
No, I'm not. I mean, I want to, but I'm not.
What are you doing for a living right now?
I'm a nurse.
How long have you been a nurse?
Well, I've been a nurse now for just over 2 years.
How do you like it?
I like it. I love it.
Great. What don't you like about it? Is there anything?
Yeah, a lot of things, I guess. I mean, I don't like being micromanaged. I don't like someone controlling my time. I don't like, there's plenty of things not to like about it. I mean, my schedule's never consistent. I'm not making enough money. I mean, the list can go on and on.
Jackie, are you thinking about replacing this job, or you just want to make extra money?
I am looking to, well, I guess I would start out. I mean, what do you mean when you say, like, replace it?
Well, do you want to replace it, what you're doing now, the income that you're having?
Oh, yeah, eventually, absolutely.
Are you married?
Not yet. Are you single?
I'm married. Do you have any kids?
No. I mean, I hope to one day, but not right now.
Jackie, have you ever been self-employed or own a home-based business before?
No.
What level of income are you accustomed to?
Right now I do around $30,000 a year.
And what level of income are you looking to generate in the next 12 months?
Oh, I don't want to limit myself. The sky's the limit. Six figures, more, whatever.
Six figures, okay. Well, what would that do for you? How would that help you?
Well, it would allow me to replace my current job. I'd be able to pay off debt. I'd start traveling. I'd be able to take vacations. I mean, what couldn't you do? I mean, that sounds like a lot of money to me.
Do you have any capital set aside to start a business?
Do I need any capital?
You know, Jackie, our company has quite a standard for the people we're looking for. There's a lot of work on our part in setting someone up in a home-based business successfully. We're looking for people who are absolutely serious about building a business and making money from home. So, Jackie, how serious are you about starting a home-based business?
Very.
Tell me why.
Well, because, I mean, I'm not going to ever reach any of my financial goals with where I'm currently at. And, the lifestyle of being a nurse, and really maybe any job, I mean, just having to settle on a couple of weeks of vacation a year, it's just, I want so much more out of life than I'm going to be able to get. That's the bottom line.
Well, Jackie, let me tell you a little bit about our business. We are a 20-year-old multi-million dollar company in 100 different countries, like Brazil, England, Canada, U.S., to name a few. We are a $7 trillion industry, which is growing at a rate of 23% annually, despite the economy. We have been featured in National Magazine for the last 10 years in full. Have you ever heard of blah, blah, blah company?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, Jackie, the person we're looking for has to have three main qualities. I'm looking for somebody with a team player, self-motivated, and dependable. Do you feel you have these qualities?
Without question.
Great. Do you have internet access at home?
Yeah, I do.
And what's the best email for you that I can send you a link to our website?
JackieHomeBiz@gmail.com.
Great. Can you get online right now as we talk? I just want to make sure you can bring the information up.
Yeah, I can get online.
Okay, great. Let me know when you're ready.
I am ready right now.
Great. The website is www.blah-blah-blah-blah. Did that
blah,
come
blah,
up for you?
Blah-blah-blah-blah.
Yeah,
I got it.
Great. Let me tell you a little bit about this website, Jackie. There's going to be an 8-minute video by Stacey O'Quinn. Stacey was in the military for 9 years. He was working 50-plus hours a week. He was really stressed out, and most of all, he missed his family life. So what he decided to do was do this a little part-time. 11 months later, he made $104,000 and walked away from the military. He's been with us ever since for his last 10 years. He makes a multiple six-figure income and 20 hours a week working around his family. So when you look over this website, make sure that you take really good notes. This has everything that you need to have to be able to leave your job and make the kind of income that you want and pay off your debts. I've got an appointment right after this call, and I can give you a call back in about 15, 20 minutes, and then we can see where we go from there. Would that work for you?
Yeah, that works.
Great. Okay. Then I would call you back.
Yep. Sound like you're losing your voice, Mary. How many times did you read that script today?
Today was only about 130, but I do lose my voice at night.
Today was only what?
I did 130 today.
130. How many times did you read the script today?
Oh, today I read about 13 times.
13 times. 14 just now. Good job.
Yeah, 14. Mm-hmm.
Good job. Hey, listen, you did an incredible job. Your numbers overall speak for themselves. They're pretty solid. all the way across the board. And I got to tell you, your biggest strength, without question, is it is clear. It is clear. It is clear that you are not a salesperson. You are not trying to sell me. I don't know exactly what you're doing yet, but you're not some slick, sharp superstar. You come across, if I'm listening to what you got, you're trustworthy, without question. I will give you a couple of tips, just so you know, and I'm not going to say much about what you're doing because it don't really matter because it's working. However, I would recommend that you record yourself. You've got a lot of this thing is second nature. I could tell you were nervous in the beginning. You got a little less nervous towards the end. I could tell you're a little bit nervous. Make certain that you're sticking to that script, Mary, which I think you're just being a little nervous. But because, again, you did far better at the end. But the other thing is you've got a little nervous thing going on that you might not even realize. You have a lot of, I can't remember. You have a lot of the great, great, good, good. You have that kind of going on when I'm saying a lot of things. And what that does is it shuts me up. You cut off the line of communication. You know, what do you like about your job? Well, I like the fact that I get to help people. Good, good. What you just told me is that's good. You're ready to move on. That's what your nonverbal has said through the phone.
Okay.
So I would just be mindful of that. But other than that, Mary, good job. Good.
Thank you.
Job. 93 times you've read that script. I'm pretty certain that you've led the class. I'm just running down the numbers. 93 times. Carradine read it 65 times. Someone read it 32, which is good. Several people read it 30 times. 93 times. You almost doubled the next closest person. If you'd got to 100, there's a couple people that did 50. Patty read it 50 times. So, good job. You're serious about what you're doing. You're not playing games. You're committed to being able to change people's lives. You're committed to what you're doing. It's clear that you're working with a vision and a purpose. You're doing a great job. I got to ask you, about how many leads do you get in a day?
About anywhere from 50 to 60. I think that's about what I get.
Okay. And you've done like some flyers here and there, right?
Yes.
What is your average response rate if you pass out 100 flyers?
Sometimes I get one and sometimes I get four.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's 1-4%. That's what I said earlier. So, like, you know, if you were only doing flyers, and you knew that you wanted to talk to at least 10 people, like, how many flyers do you think you'd have to pass out?
Because I talk to so many a day with the leads, I really think you do have to put out 1,000 plus a day.
Mm-hmm. Right. What's the most flyers you've passed out and not gotten a call? That's important.
Yeah, my husband and I passed out flyers a couple weeks ago, and we put out 1,000. We didn't get one call. And then the next week, we put out 500, and we got 3 calls. So
okay. That's good. It's good for people to know that, because even though you may average 1-4 calls per 100, that's an average.
Yes.
That means you can pass out 1,000 flyers and not get a phone call. Most people get the flyer system. They go pass out 100 flyers, and they're like, oh, I did it. Nobody calls. Then they, like, get up the nerve. They pass out another 100. They're like, oh, I did it. And nobody calls, and they pass out another 100.
Yep.
They're like, oh, please call, please call, please call. And nobody calls. They're like, crap, it doesn't work. Yet, you know, here you are, you know, passing out hundreds, you know, just to get the results you're getting, and you're doing a great job. Good job. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's move along here. And, Carrie, if you could put her back in the queue. And next up, we have, here we go, 380, oh, there we go, sorry, Sharon Dukes, if you could please hit 1, and Carrie will be kind enough to open up your line for us.
Hi.
Hi, Sharon. How's it going?
It's going good. How about yourself?
We're doing awesome. Thank you, Brad.
Good.
All right. Good job, by the way. Good number of dials, 489 dials. You're working 16 hours a week.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job. Good job. And you had 20 conversations?
Yes.
And you're cold market, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. That's not quite 5%. Are you calling age leads?
I am.
Okay. And well, if you've got 20 out of, if you've got, that's almost 4%, I guess. That's not bad on age leads. I mean, you had 20 conversations in 16 hours, so good job. That's about two, you averaged almost, well, just about 1.5 conversations an hour on age leads, so that's not so bad. You got 6 people to a presentation?
Yes.
Okay. You got 6 people to a presentation. Now, what is your process like? What kind of presentation were you taking them to?
Web.
So you called them up on the phone and you took them to the web, right?
Correct.
And then I'm just trying to get an idea of how this worked. You just send them to it on their own and then you called them back. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And out of 20 conversations, only 6 people went to your presentation. Okay. Explain that to me. Because I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. 6 people went to your presentation. Well, first of all, I guess, how do you know if 6 people went to your presentation?
I really don't. I do. Because those are the ones that I called back. The others. Wait a minute. Let me write this down. I talked to 26 went. Those are the ones that I talked to that saw the presentation.
Okay. Meaning that you called them back for the follow-up and those are the ones that answered the telephone?
Yes.
Okay. And you read the closing script only twice?
Yes.
All right. That's a closing issue. So we'll work on the prospecting. But still, you still got to read the closing script 1 out of 3 times.
Right.
So, okay. Good job. So the 20 that you read, did you send all 20 of those to your website?
I did.
Okay.
But I only got a hold of 6, so I don't know if they went and saw it or if they never did because those 14 did not answer back.
Okay. And that, you know, that can happen, but.
Right.
How do you take them to the presentation or how do you give them the presentation? I know you take them to the web, but what do you do?
I read the prospecting script and then I give them the web address and it's only 7 minutes. I direct them to the 7 minute, I think it's a little bit more, 7 minutes and some seconds, presentation. But if they can continue to click on
other stuff.
To give more, right. But I don't tell them that. I just say, look at this particular one, and then I'll call you back.
That's cool.
I have other people contact, then I'll call you back.
Yep, that's cool. That's exactly what I do, by the way. I take them to a short video, but there's a lot of other information they could look at.
Right.
So that's perfect. That's perfect. Okay. 20 people that you read. So you actually, perfect. So many people don't do what you just said. I love it. I love it. It's so important that you actually take people to the presentation and don't expect, you know, that they're just going to get an email.
I don't send out emails. I try not to.
Yeah. I get it. I understand. Hang on a minute. I want to look at something in this press release here because I have one more question for you. I want to make certain I see what it says here. Okay. So I want to explain this. In the script, it says on page 17 of the regular script book in the prospecting script, it says, I'll be sending you a link to our website to make sure that you get the information. Now, Sharon, I'll get back to you for just a moment, so hang tight. What you heard Sharon say is that she takes them to the website. I do the same thing. But I still read that sentence in the script. You have to accept the fact there are certain things that are in place in the system. You just have to follow the system and trust that it's going to work. no different than if you set someone up on your auto ship. You don't have to understand why the auto ship is $59 or $259. Oftentimes, those prices are well-researched, money and efforts went into that stuff. Your auto ship price point is set at a certain place for a certain reason based off research and stuff that your company has done. You don't have to understand it. It's just the price of the auto ship. You just put everybody on it and you keep going. The script is the same way. You don't have to understand everything about the script, but it's a system that just works, so you want to use it. But I'm going to explain this to you just to give you an example. Right here, the script says, I was sending you a link to, our, to the website to make sure that you get the information. I have seen people, because it says that, they're like, oh, well, I just told them that, so I'm just going to send them an email. I promise you, if you expect everybody to get off the phone with you, go check their email 2 hours from now to get a link and click on it, the odds of them showing up for a follow-up appointment is very small. Very small. I mean, if you send 10 people, if you send 20 people to go check their email, click on a link, watch a video presentation, and then you're going to call them back, you know, 30 minutes later, an hour later, whatever. If you sent 20 people there, you'd be lucky if one showed up. Because there's too many things that can happen. First of all, email is not reliable. You can send someone email, they may not get it. The other is, you don't know how much email they got. A lot of people, your email either accidentally goes to spam, it goes to bulk mail, it just gets lost. Worse, they never ever get it, or they do get it, but their antivirus or whatever won't let them click on the stupid link that's in there, any number of things. However, knowing that, you may say, hey, you know what, I'm still going to take them, I'm not even worried about sending the email, I'm just going to take them to the video. Well, even if you do that, guess what, you still want to read that sentence. There's a reason why. This sentence is designed to be a bit of a buffer. It prevents you from making them feel like you're going after the jugular on the telephone. It's designed to lead them to the next step. There's a reason it says, hey, by the way. It doesn't say, you don't say, what's the best email to contact you at? Do you have access to the internet while talking to me? Go ahead and go. You don't skip over those two sentences. They're there for a reason. I'll be sending you a link to our website to make sure you get the information. That's a small psychological amendment. They're like, okay. That's non-threatening. Hey, by the way, do you have access to the internet while talking to me? You're saying it almost like, you know, do you happen to have access? I mean, it's just like, you know, spontaneous. Hey, by the way, do you happen to have, you know, do you have access to the internet while talking to me? Yeah. Go ahead and go over to the internet. I want to make sure that you don't have any problems downloading the information. Boom. They're like, oh, okay, I can do that. They're a lot more receptive than you saying, hey, let me just get you online. Now you're bossing them around, telling them what to do. Nobody wants to be bossed around. Everybody wants to make decisions on their own free will. The script is designed to guide them to making their own decisions, but you're guiding them to make decisions that are in the best interest of their future. It's important to understand that. So that's just a reminder. Don't reinvent the wheel. Just read it. Just read it. Sharon, what is your biggest objection that you get when you're reading the prospecting script?
Some of them say, I don't like sales. I don't have the time.
No. Oh, in the middle of the prospecting script they're telling you this?
Oh, the prospecting script.
Yeah.
I don't really get a whole lot.
Okay.
I don't think. I need to keep better track of that so that way I can kind of see really where the objection is. I mean, I've gotten a few. I didn't request that information. Then I'll read that script of, which one is it? I got papers everywhere.
The one titled did not request information?
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing how well that works?
I know. It does work.
It's amazing. It's like, it's almost like psychological jujitsu or something. It's weird.
Right.
They're like, let's role play that for everybody. Let's role play that. All right. I'm going to tell you that because I want people to see, again, what that the thing that is the most frustrating is how people constantly want to reinvent the wheel. So I want them to see, again, you obviously have experience using it. I want them to see that it just works. It just works. So let's role play that. Ready?
Sure.
All right. So you're calling me, my phone rings, ring, ring, and I say, hello?
Hey, Jackie, how's it going?
Good.
Stacy, I'm sorry.
No, I'm Jackie, that's right.
Hi, this is Sharon. I'm calling you back. You requested some information by working from home. What can I do for you?
You know, I didn't do that.
Geez, Stacy, I'm sorry. I want to make sure that the advertising firm that we're working with is not giving us false information. So you're Stacy O'Quinn at Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. And you're at 301-555-1212?
Yeah, that's me. It's the number you called.
Wow, that's strange. It shows that you requested information about making money from home. Is that right?
No, I don't think that was me.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to reach out to our advertising agency, and I'm going to remove you. Thank you. Have a great day.
Wait a minute.
I know I ad-libbed that.
Oh, girl. You missed the deadliest part.
I know.
Okay. So here's the thing. She
I know. I'm supposed
us.
To say, oh, okay, Jack.
Uh-huh.
You know what? We happen to be targeting...
You don't even have to, and if you don't know that info, because sometimes your lead form don't have that info, hold on, you just...
It was the next page, and I should have looked over, and I'm just looking at yes, yes. No, he said no, and I should have just looked at page 75.
Oh, you thought it was going to be easy. Okay.
Yeah.
So what it says on page, you said 75?
Yeah.
What it says is, I have these all typed out. So what it says... Let's role play that. Ready?
Okay.
You're going to tell me you ain't got... You're going to be uninterested, okay?
Okay.
And so I can get the chance to get to the last part. So, ring, ring.
Hello.
Hi, Sharon. How's it going?
Going good. Who's this?
This is Jackie. I'm calling you back. You requested some more information about working from home. What can I do for you?
Information? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Is this Sharon Dukes?
Yeah.
Okay, and I have you at, you know, 123 Make Money Lane?
Yes.
Wow. Sharon, they're showing that you had requested some more information looking to make money from home. Are you looking to generate an income working from home?
Not right now.
Okay. You know what? We happen to be advertising right now. We have several positions available. We're actually interviewing for someone that's going to be heading up an entire organization. Just depending on the experience and skills, we have a six-figure position available as well as a part-time position for $2,000 to $3,000 a month. Would you happen to know anybody that would be looking for either a six-figure position or a part-time position of $2,000 to $3,000 a month? Pause. So here's what happens. About 50% of the time when you read the first part, they're like, yeah, I did request something, you know. What is it? Then you just go right into the script. Did you have
okay.
pen and paper handy? Yes. You know that, Sharon.
Right.
However, 50%
Nervous.
Of, yes, 50% of them will still say they didn't. When you read that, 50% will say, nope, not interested. And then when you go into the last part, another 50% of those people will say something like, well, what do you got to do for that $1,000 to $2,000 a month? Or,
right.
Or, well, what is it exactly? No matter what they say, if they don't say, no, I don't know anybody, you go straight to the script to save us both time and to ask you a few questions to figure out what info to direct you to. Boom.
Okay.
And you will get a lot of people who say, when they happen to say they're not interested. I will tell you, that comes up far more often, and you know this, Aaron, probably, on aged advertising than
yeah.
it does fresh advertising.
Yes.
A lot more often. Fresh, real-time advertising, they know. They just filled it out. Aged advertising, they think you're a telemarketer. Let me tell you why this script is so important for everybody, including you, Sharon. I want you to make sure that you've gotten this either bookmarked or printed out or whatever so you can refer to it quickly. Because some of your very best, customers and team builders will end up coming from this script right here. And this is why. Nobody else has been able to prospect them.
Okay.
Every other amateur hasn't been able to get through because they said no. And what you did when you read this script is all of a sudden you became real, reputable, and legitimate to them. The reason they said, no, I'm not interested, whatever, is because they've probably had, you know, 4, 5, or 10 amateurs call them over the past 90 days.
Right.
But all of a sudden, you separated yourself from every would-be amateur telemarketer that wanted to sell them something. All of a sudden, this sounds real. They're going to pay a lot more attention typically than even the average person that answered the telephone and said that they were interested. If you can get them turned, typically they're going to pay a lot more attention because they're like, now they're thinking, well, what is this?
Right.
They're psychologically open, and that's what the script's designed to do. And if you take, if they, now, sometimes they, you end up having to read the jerk script and get off the telephone with them and keep going. But if they go through the process, I mentioned today on Super Friends Group, some of my very best team members have been very skeptical in the beginning. Skeptical people stick around. Skeptical people don't make quick decisions. So when they make a decision to get into business with you or to buy your product or use your services, then it's going to be far more difficult for them to change their mind or have their mind changed by someone else. Sharon, I happen to see what company you're in. That's a very competitive industry.
Yes.
There are actual companies that call people up, at least they were a few years ago. Years ago, I used to do something in the space that you're in. That's how I know this.
Mm-hmm.
And back when I did it many years ago, over 10 years ago when I did it, there would be people calling people up, and they would offer them, big Fortune 500 companies would call people up, offer them cash to switch their services on the spot.
Right.
You want loyal customers who aren't going to be easily swayed because of a quick flash in the pan. Those customers come from having the ability to, those skeptical customers are the ones that's going to be the ones that's going to stick with you. Make sense?
Hello?
I got you, Sharon.
Oh, I'm here.
Okay. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right.
I do have a question, and I guess this is maybe where I'm kind of fumbling at, is that I have printed out a lot of the book, both of them.
Yep.
So I'm fumbling to get to, you know, whatever the objection might be.
Okay, so.
And that's where I'm, you know, and then I make my own self nervous because it's like, oh, my God, I done spent like 2 seconds looking for page number, you know, whatever. So I'm trying to get organized in the sense of that I can go directly to if they say, you know, I didn't request the information. Boom,
right.
I know it's page 75, but if it's, you know, it's the sales objection, then I'm looking for that page or I'm, you know, kind of looking at my paper to see, I guess it is, how quickly can I get to certain things without losing
so here's what you can do.
Amount of time.
Yeah, go to Staples or Office Depot, get those
mm-hmm.
little folder tabs that are like
okay.
color-coded,
uh-huh.
and put them on each of those pages.
Okay.
So you literally can grab a tab. You'll learn the green tab is a money objection, you know.
Okay.
The yellow tab is not interested. So you'll just grab the tab, and you got it. It's on that page.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And that's a very easy way to do it. I've heard a lot of different little systems people put in place, but that's a super easy way to do it. So I would just recommend that you do that.
Okay, great.
Good job. All right, Sharon, Carrie, just put her back in the queue. Sharon, thank you so much. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Also, it was impressive that Sharon, I mean, she knew right off to read that script. I have no doubt that she's been reading that script. Again, she's probably nervous on the line. That's totally okay. But that's a sign of someone who's becoming a professional without question. Without question. I mean, a lot of people, you know, when amateurs are quick to fold. They get any little objection. Amateurs are looking for the easy sell. You're not looking for the easy sell. You're looking for the right sell. Listen, the easy sell, I mean, you're just not, that's not what you want. That's not, meaning, who doesn't, everybody will take easy money, free money. I get it. But typically the easy sell, the person who's going to, you know, get started with you know, hardly going through the information, they're like, yeah, I'm in, boom. They get started. And by the way, you know, I run into those people too. I mean, I have had people pay me a lot of money on very little information before. But those people, without fail, they just don't stick around. And those are the ones that, you know, it's what Danny Johnson calls fast fold. Like, they get started today, you know, they're going to tear up the world, and tomorrow you can't reach them. They've paid you money. Sometimes they paid you thousands of dollars, and tomorrow you just can't reach them. It's okay. It's totally okay. They all they've done is help fund your business while you look for that person who's going to be serious, long-term, and committed. It's totally okay. It's not a big deal. But that's why you want to have the skill set to be able to get to those people that can be challenging. Okay, let's go. I am... in a moment. I'm looking for someone who's made a lot of dials, but they haven't gotten as many people. They haven't had as many conversations. Oh, okay, here we go. This is a good one. All right. Heather Lalonde, please press 1, and Carrie will be kind enough to open up your line. I hope I said that right. Lalonde? Lalonde? I murdered that, sorry.
Hi, yeah.
Heather, your line's open.
Heather, how do I say your last name?
It's Lalonde.
Lalonde, I said it right the first time. What are the odds? Okay. Good job. By the way, great number of dials, 507 dials. You did it in 15 hours. Great job there. That's working like a professional. So, 14 conversations. Talk to me about what's going on here.
So, I'm calling really old leads.
Okay.
And it was like probably my second, third time through. So, I just didn't get a hold of a lot of people. And, well, when you said it counts as a conversation if you get through the whole script, most
right.
of mine were, oh, I don't remember requesting information. So, obviously, I did not get through a lot of the whole script with a lot of people.
Right, right. Here's something to look at, too, by the way. I just thought of this. Thank you, Lord. That was divine. I'm assuming that you're calling – why are you calling really old leads? Let me not assume. Let me just ask.
Well, okay. So I bought leads from the last prospecting class. I mostly work for market, but I'm varying my advertising a little bit.
Good job.
And thank you. And so I – be totally honest, I didn't call all of them, and so So I thought before I buy new leads, I should probably call the ones. Yeah,
I should call the ones I ordered. Okay, good job. You're not going to be part of the 85% any longer. Okay, good job. It's a great self punishment to have to call really old leads when you got them, they weren't so old. Don't do that to yourself. That's torture. Call your leads next time, as you know. Okay. But, so here's the thing. A lot of times when people buy age leads, one of the things they do is they're like, oh, I don't want to buy fresh leads. They're so much more expensive. Okay, but one of the things that make them not as expensive is you need to look at the cost per conversation. And there's a cost to your time. So, like in this case, Heather made 507 dials. Well, if she would have had Mary's contact ratio, she would have actually read that script 50 times. That's over triple the conversations. And according to your numbers here, you actually took 12 people to a presentation. Can you imagine what would have happened if you'd had 36 people at a presentation?
Wow.
That's insane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would have been doing it on almost the same amount of time. I mean, it would have taken a little longer because you had more. So when you look at it at a price, you look at your advertising budget as a price per conversation that you're having, when you have more conversations on the same dials, all of a sudden those $3 leads aren't quite as expensive anymore. So just an FYI, something to keep in mind. So let's go. Let's let's check it out. Ready? You're going to call me. You ready?
Okay. Yeah. Ring, ring.
Hello?
Hey, Jackie. How's it going?
Good. Who's this?
This is Heather. I'm calling you back. You requested more information about working from home. What can I do for you?
Did I?
Yeah. Gee, I'm sorry. I just want to make sure that the advertising firm we're working with isn't giving us any false information. So you're Jackie O'Quinn?
Wow, you've read that a lot. Good job. Okay, let's back up. Start back at the top. Ring, ring. Hello.
Oh, hey, Jackie. How's it going?
Good.
Good. This is Heather. I'm calling you back. You requested more information about working from home. What can I do for you?
Yeah, what is it? What is that?
Do you have a pen and paper handy?
I can get one.
Awesome. I'll wait.
I got it.
Okay, so to save us both time, we need to ask you a few questions to figure out what information to direct you to.
Okay.
So, Jackie, are you currently working from home?
I am.
And what is it that you do?
I work in the telecommunications industry.
Oh, wow. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I mean, it's an industry people need, they use. I mean, I make money when I get people to change services and to, you know. So, I mean, I specialize in businesses. I do it part-time. I mean, what do you want to know?
And what is it that you like about doing that?
Well, I love the fact that I have control over what I do. Like, I'm able to. So I have a lot of leeway. There's not, like, a lot of training and support for what I do, and I had to totally – I kind of created this position in this business for myself by,
wow,
you know, finding companies that basically wanted more customers, and I realized that, wow, I can kind of do this. And I started researching, and I realized there's actually, a name for this position. It's known as a telecom agent. And so mm-hmm. I was like – once I realized that, then I realized, oh, I think I can do that. So I basically have been trying to figure out everything on my own, but the cool thing about it is my own thing. So that's, you know, I like it. I love it.
Wow. So you created this position for yourself. That's amazing. So why are you looking for a home-based business?
Well, I'm not actually making any money with it. That's not my primary source of income. That's my side deal. So, you know, to be honest with you, I'm a little bit frustrated by it, but, I like it. I mean, I like it if I could make it work, I guess.
Okay. And what kind of income are you looking to generate in the next 12 months?
I am looking to, I would like to make, I don't know, six figures.
Okay. Do you have some capital set aside to start your business?
No, I don't.
Okay. You know, Jackie, our company has quite a standard for the people that we're looking for. There's a lot of work on our part in setting someone up in a home business successfully. So we're looking for people who are absolutely serious about building a business and making money from home. So, Jackie, how serious are you about starting your home business?
Well, I'm very serious about doing something. I mean, I wouldn't have been trying to do this if I wasn't serious.
Tell me why you're serious.
Listen, I want to do something that I can have control over my life. I want to be able to be in control of my schedule. I want to be able to make more money. Listen, I grew up without, I didn't come from a successful background, successful family, but somewhere along the way I just realized that there are a lot of successful people in this world, and why can't I be one of them? And I don't know exactly what it takes. I'm willing to, you know, follow directions. I'll do whatever it takes if I could just learn what the heck to do.
Awesome. Let me tell you about the company that I work with. We are a multi-million-dollar company. We've been in business for over 21 years. We do business in over 28 countries, including Japan, the UK, the United States, and we have been featured in Oprah Winfrey's O magazine. We have been featured in Success at Home magazine as one of the best companies to work for, and the name of the company is blah, blah, blah. Have you heard of us?
I don't think so.
Okay. Now, Jackie, the person we're looking for has three main qualities. They're a team player, self-motivated, and dependable. Do you feel you have these qualities?
Absolutely.
Great. Do you still have a pen and paper handy?
I do.
Do you have internet access?
I do.
Okay, I want to confirm your email address. What's the best email to contact you at?
JackieHomeBiz@gmail.com.
Okay, great. So I'll be sending you a link to our website to make sure that you get the information. Hey, by the way, do you have access to the internet while talking to me?
I can get it.
So go ahead and go over to your computer now, because I just want to make sure that you don't have any problems downloading the information.
Okay.
And then I take them to a website.
Okay. I'm there.
Okay. So were you able to download the information?
Yep, I got it.
Sweet. So make sure that you take really good notes, because on this website is where you're going to get the information that you requested, so you can create something on your own again while getting paid adequately for all the effort that you're going to put in. So, Jackie, let me give you my phone number. It's blah, blah, blah. Now, we're pre-screening a lot of people right now. We'll be making a decision real soon, so the sooner you can get that website looked at, the better. And depending on what your response is, this information will determine whether or not we'll work together and where you fit in on our team. So there's about a five-minute video for you to watch. You just click on the button that says Watch Our Presentation. You watch that. Take a look at the other tabs to find out what information about the company, things like that. And just take about 10 to 15 minutes. So I'll call you back in 15 minutes.
Okay. You can do that.
Sweet.
Awesome. Okay. Good job. My goodness. Your telephone voice is phenomenal. It's clear that you're not a salesperson. You're very relatable, very you sound like someone that I should know. That's good. That's awesome. You're very comfortable on the phone, obviously. Good job.
Thanks.
The only area that I would – well, first of all, you just need to know that if you were calling real-time – advertising, your results would be far greater. You need to know that. And I'm going to harp on this real-time advertising, ladies and gentlemen, until I am blue in the face, because I'm blown away at how really good people put a very solid effort into building a home business. And they do it, some of them do it for a long time. And it's like no one ever tells them, you need to call real-time advertising. But just know this, Heather, just off of your current skill set, not changing a thing. And there's a saying that says, what you lack in skill, you make up in numbers. But I believe, I can see your closing ratios and everything on this spreadsheet I got. I believe that even those numbers will improve just by calling real-time advertising. But I know that you're going to be, with pretty much the same amount of time, exposing a lot more people to the information. Now, there's a couple areas that I want to just kind of give you a heads up on. And there's just a couple of areas. And it was in the initial interview. Although you sounded very comfortable, and you almost sounded like you cared about me. The thing is, I gave you at least two glaring opportunities to ask me what I actually did for a living to make income. And you never asked.
Oh.
I even told you I wasn't making money, which should have been a clue. Well, what are you doing to make money?
That's
really important.
Okay.
And so you kind of get away with it because you come across, you just naturally come across very genuine, but because, but I happen to know what you failed to ask. So that's really important. You're going to be more effective. Don't get so caught up in checking off the boxes. Okay. And keep in mind, when you're on the telephone, and part of this may come from the fact that you're making so many dials and you're having so few conversations, so you're like, you're trying to run through the numbers as quick as you can, and you're trying to be efficient. And that's good. That's very good that you're trying to be efficient. But whenever you get a live body on the phone, your world needs to stop whatever else is going on, and the only thing you need to be focused on is there is a real person on the other phone that may be hurting, that may need your help, and may be desperate if you can just show them something that's going to work. But you have no way of knowing that yet, and you're not going to be able to know it until you're able to take them through this information. So make certain that you're asking questions and that you're listening for those cues. The other one is, the other really good question that you could have told and gave me, that you could have asked me, which would have helped you when you directed me to the information, was I told you that I was failing and it wasn't working. So a really good question that you can ask, it's not in the script, it's just a good question to ask. Anytime someone tells you they're working from home or they're trying to work from home and it's not working, a very good question to ask him, why doesn't it work?
Okay.
Well, why do you feel like it's not working? Do you follow
okay.
me?
Okay. Yeah.
The reason that is so good is because, for example, if I would have told you, well, you know, I don't know how to, you know, I don't have so many friends and family. I don't have any way to get customers and clients. I'm really struggling with this. And with that particular business, by the way, you would have found out that I never even approached friends and family at all. I was trying to get into businesses and get business accounts, and I had made up this entire marketing scheme that sounded brilliant. It just wasn't working. And you would have seen that that was my number one struggle, was I couldn't get clients. So what you would have said when you took me to your website, you would have said along the lines of everything that you said, something that can show you how to make XYZ and all this stuff, you would have said and show you how to build a business where you don't have to worry about how you're going to get your clients.
Okay.
That would have been a huge hot button that would have made me want to devour your information. You
okay.
follow me?
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I mean, you've got this script down. I mean, you sound naturally trustworthy on the phone. You have you have an enthusiastic voice. You've stuck to that script very solid. Good job. You're going to be very duplicatable. So just keep doing what you're doing. Do you have any particular questions for me?
No. Other than I know why I didn't ask, because I was afraid, because I've gotten the objection before, like, why are you asking so many questions? But that makes sense now, so I don't need to be afraid to ask. I can just ask.
Yeah, because here's the thing. When you get that, it's because it's really important for people to understand that we live in a society that doesn't care anymore and that lacks human contact and human touch, even through the telephone. So when you get that, it's for a lot of reasons, but it's oftentimes someone being skeptical, someone being guarded. There is one other thing you did in the script, and it just explained it. I actually was just thinking it was nerves, so I wasn't even going to worry about it because it's so minor. You were reading just a tiny bit fast, and now I know why. You're scared I'm going to give you an objection.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad you said that, by the way. Slow down. Take a deep breath. You're going to sound even more trustworthy when you slow down just a little bit. Because if
okay.
you're not careful, if you speed up too much more, you're going to create the objection. You're going to create distrust because I'm going to be afraid that you're trying to talk fast because you want to talk me into something.
Okay.
So just take a deep breath. Listen, don't – all you're doing is sorting people. You're doing interviews. You're sorting people in. You're sorting people out. If,
mm-hmm.
you know, if someone says, you know, why are you asking so many questions, then just tell them, I was curious. Why didn't it work for you? It doesn't matter. Don't get all caught up in, you know, what they say. You know? Sometimes I ask people, you know, and I got to tell you, I'm speaking from experience here, because when I first started in this industry and I first started reading this script, I come from a very private background where we're naturally, you know, Danny talked about how really bad I was at prospecting, and it's true, because I judged everything about this script and I provoked every objection. I come from a background where you don't discuss money and politics with nobody. You don't ask people about their personal lives. It's their business. It's none of your business. And I felt that way about my own life. When I saw that script and I was supposed to ask people about being married and about their income, the income question was the hardest question for me to ask in the beginning. And today I'm blown away. You can ask anybody anything about their money and almost everybody will tell you without even hesitating. So, but, you know, even now though, someone will say something like, you know, I'll ask, you know, are you married? What does that have to do with anything? I'm just curious. Are you married? I mean, I don't really care if they don't want to answer it, but I'm asking because I was curious. I mean, that's a really simple way to say it. You know, do you have kids at home? What does that matter? Well, Heather, you're looking to accept one of our work from home positions, so it's kind of important. What's your home life like? Do you have kids? Like, I literally answer it like they're silly for thinking that it's an inappropriate question.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, yeah, I got 2 kids. Oh, what are their ages? And now they open up all of a sudden. Oh, they're 2 and 6, you know, and da da da. Or they're 16 and 18. Oh, you got a teenager? How's that going? Oh, you know teenagers. See, now it's a whole different type of conversation. So it's okay if someone gives you that kind of objection. Have the chance to face it head on. And if you can't face it, if they're like, well, I don't want to tell you that info, well, just keep going. It's okay. you're waiting for them to open up because they're never going to get started if they don't open up. So unless they're rude, just keep going and kind of see what happens. Sometimes once people go to your information on the web, sometimes they'll open up then because all of a sudden this gets real and it gets real really fast. Sometimes they never open up. Well, guess what? You just sorted them out. They're not qualified yet to go into business with you because they're not open enough to see an opportunity. They're too guarded. They're too closed up, and it's okay. It's not your issue. But you want to give everybody a chance. And it starts by just caring about the person that's on the other end of that phone. But that's, I mean, that's minor. That's minor. Don't get rushed. Don't let them people, you know, don't let people control how you're going to respond. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal. You're doing great. You're doing great. Just keep going.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. Care if we can put her back in the class. And here we go. Gosh, you know what? I'm going to go to... Hang on a minute. Oh, this is so good. Francis Krebs. Francis Krebs. Kerry, can you get Francis into the queue, please, or into the on my side of the call?
Sure, if you could just press the number one, that'd be great.
Francis Krebs.
Spell the last name for me.
Krebs, K-R-E-B-S.
I don't see him on the line.
Okay, let's try Mike Gibson. That's a shame. Mike Gibson.
I do have Mike. Mike, your line is open.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, do me a favor. You got me on speakerphone?
Yeah, sir. I'm just switching it off here. Just one sec.
Thank you, sir. It's better quality. Hey, just an FYI, and Mike, you probably already know this, but for the sake of everybody, don't ever, 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 ever talk to your prospects on speakerphone, ever. Because they can tell. It doesn't. I'm not talking about you particularly, Mike. I'm just saying for the sake of anyone else on the call who might not have thought this through. Even though you don't realize how you sound and they can respond to you just fine, people can tell that you're on a speakerphone. And, you know, that's just not normal. And then they can be worried about who could be hearing what they're saying in the background, and they're going to wonder, why the heck are you talking to me on a speakerphone? Just an FYI. Now, Mike, I know you're probably just listening to the class on speakerphone, and you didn't know I was going to call you up. So I'm looking here. You're using warm market. You're talking to warm market, right?
A little bit of both. We've done some warm market stuff. We kind of just bouncing around. We've been working in older advertising campaigns, kind of like what the topic's been earlier in the class. But since our last prospecting class, we decided to go all in, and we bought a live lead advertising campaign.
Nice. I could come to the phone and give you a hug. Good job.
Well, thank you. Yeah, like you said, we're just kind of same kind of conversation from the previous people where, you know, we paid for these leads already and just war on debt that, you know, let's call them even if they're just – even if it's just practice to get a hold of people, then, you know, let's try that. But we really want to start taking our business seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And just having some struggles just with, like, vision of where are we going with this. So, you know, that's why we're here and trying our absolute best. So.
Right. Okay. Good job. Mike, of the 11 conversations that you had last week, how many were warm market probably? How many were cold market?
One of them was warm market. And then the rest of them were all just from our cold market. They were all from the old leads. I think it was like 8 of them were just, they weren't even the right person.
Right.
They're pretty old leads, like over 6 months.
Right. And just an FYI, ladies and gentlemen, it's just something you should know if you don't. Most of your advertising companies, like EarnPro does this, I'm pretty sure you can call Bethany. Oh, I know they all, if they're reputable, they do one of two things. And that is they either will give you 10% more leads than what you purchase as a way to make up for wrong phone numbers, or they allow you to replace wrong phone numbers. So, like, if you call in this wrong phone number, they'll replace it. Typically, if it's age data, they're going to give you, like, a few extras, you know, typically, like I said, 10%. If it's real-time advertising, they'll either do the 10% or sometimes they'll do where you can log in and get a replacement. That's good. That's good for your advertising. So just an FYI. Okay. Hey, got a question. It looks like you took one personal presentation. Did that happen to be your warm market?
That was my warm market, yeah.
Okay. This is a good point. Ladies and gentlemen, warm market, I don't care what anybody says anywhere under the sun. It took me forever, forever to learn this. I don't care if you think your friends are part of the NFL club or you know, I don't care if you think you don't have any friends, whatever, blah, blah, blah. If you get out of your own way and you call your warm market, you will absolutely make money. Absolutely make money. If you call in, if you go through 200, if you talk to 200 people in your warm market and you read that script to at least 200 of them, I am telling you right now, you will make money. And if no other reason, they will at least humor you and go through the information. And by that very nature alone, if enough of them do it, it's just statistics. Some of them are going to get started. And I got started, I'll make a confession with you, I got started in my business today because the first presentation I ever saw said I never had to talk to my warm market. And after going to several first steps, I got convicted. I finally talked to my warm market, and I've done, I'd have to track it all down. I know it's over 80. It's probably over $100,000 right now for my warm market alone, my warm market. Of business that's gotten from not just my warm market, but by bringing them in business and then other business that came from that, and, you know, them being mobilized. So warm market is amazing. And I can tell you this, the people who I work with who make the money the fastest, the absolute fastest, always, it's always people out of their warm market. So, Mike, I'm not going to role play with you because I was looking for someone who was, had done quite a bit of conversations and stuff with their warm market. But I just got to ask, because I know you got an advertising campaign. Have you called through your 200 list of resources?
Not all 200. I've made, we've been in our business about a year and a half. I've phoned about 100 of them. And we have, I think we've had like 12 people get started with us.
Good job.
Warm market.
Good job. That is a 12% closing ratio from lead to sale. You will probably not get that with cold market advertising.
Cool.
Because you would have to talk to, you know, today I was looking at my numbers, about 30% of my leads I actually get to reach and read a script to.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, you would need 300 leads. At $3 a lead, that's $900.
Yeah. Ratios are definitely way higher in warm market. Like, you know, we get a hold of probably 70% of people. I get about probably 70% of those people to at least go and look at the presentation and show up when they're there. I have had a few of my warm market contacts, more of like acquaintances, not show up for me, but,
yeah.
And we think we figured that out from Stacy's closing call of just not edifying it properly. But other than that, yeah, almost every single person has been there for the presentation and the close. So
then call the other 100, Mike.
Okay.
Get on it. You said you were going to get serious about this thing. Then that's the first place to get serious. You've already called 100. You're halfway there. Get on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do it this week. Like,
okay.
There's no reason not. You can call through 100 leads in a week. Well, I'm looking at you did 55 dials. Okay. So you can get through them in 2 weeks. Like, just
okay.
Get it done. Don't worry about it. Expect it to be a mess. Keep in mind that even when you're Walmart, you're still sorting. And it's okay if they don't get started. They might know someone else who gets started. And here's the best part when you go through Walmart fast that most people don't realize. Is you can create an absolute tsunami. What happens
mm-hmm.
is you will create a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
And they all start asking questions of each other. Do you know what Mike's doing? Did Mike talk to you about so-and-so, so-and-so? And then they're like, wait a minute, you're doing it? Seriously? And now people get scared that someone's going to do something without them.
Okay.
I mean, it absolutely, I highly encourage you just to absolutely go after it. Go after it. I got you here, Mike. Do you have a question while you're here?
Sorry, one second. Oh, I did have a kind of question. I was just curious to know, like, what kind of hours are you working? I just, like, you know, as a professional in the industry and, you know, you do this full time every day and, you know, setting a goal for what I want to do eventually, you know, I'm just curious to know what does an average day look like for you?
Okay, I can tell you exactly. Monday is my longer day. I can tell you, looking at my schedule right now because I got it marked. I started this at 8 to 9 in the morning. I listen to Danny from 9 to 11:30. I'm making phone calls from 1:30 to 3:30. I make phone calls. This was yesterday. And then from 5 to 7:30 I made phone calls today because I was on this class, and I was going to prepare for this class. I only did this morning and this afternoon. So from 9, again, I listened to Danny 8 to 9 this morning. Then from 9 to 11:30 I was making phone calls. And then from 1:30 to 3:30 I was making phone calls and I was on this class. Tomorrow, same thing in the morning and in the evening, same as Monday. I don't have anything to do tomorrow afternoon on my schedule. Thursdays, I do morning and evening again. Nothing in the afternoon. Fridays, I do a half a day, and I'm not planning to work this Saturday. Not even a half a day. I do I do 3 hours on Friday, yeah. And I'm not planning to work on Saturday.
That's awesome. Okay, cool.
So it ends up being, I'd have to add it up, I think it's 24 hours or 26 hours.
Yeah. Our challenge is we just, like, with my day job, I'm away from home for 11 hours a day. So I'm just trying to figure out how I can carve in as much time as possible because, you know, we had a conversation today that, you know, if we don't change, things aren't going to change. So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, even if it's half an hour, an hour, you know, here and there, you know, it's as long as it's focused and working as hard as we can, then, you know, eventually things will start happening. So
That's exactly right. I came to the same conclusion, by the way, early in this industry. Like, I've just got to make time. And for me, it was different. I was at college, I was fresh out of college. I hung out every weekend and every day off and played video games all night. True story.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know, it was a big deal because that's what all my friends did at the time. And I was, you know, early 20s, 22, 23. And I just made a conscious decision. You know what? If I'm ever going to reach my goals, I've got to do something different than what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I created business hours. It wasn't a lot of hours because I still had a rotating shift and all that at work, but I worked when I could, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got breaks, you got lunches, and sometimes people are like, well, I don't want to work that hard. That's okay. Then your dreams aren't that important to you, and that's okay. That's not a bad thing. But it's like you said, if you want to get serious, then you've got to do something serious.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you have the right mindset and you're on the right track. Did I answer your question, Mike?
I totally did. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Gary, please put Mike back into the class. And time is so running out on us. Here's what I'm going to do I'm going to take some questions on if you want to ask me anything related to, you know, the industry, first steps, whatever. Prospecting, of course, is the subject matter at hand, but I'll take whatever question that you have, and I'll do my best to answer it, because I want to help you. I want to see you get to where you want to go. So here's Kerry, how do they raise their hand, and can you give them instructions on what to do, and we'll just take them one at a time?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. If you just press the number one time on your phone, that'll get you into the question queue.
Now, here's the key. Here's the one caveat. Kerry, I need to know their name, because I need to make certain that I have their homework. And if I don't have your homework, then I'm sorry. I cannot take a question from you. So she's going to give me your name. I'm going to just double-check the homework, and at that point, Kerry, you can put them in the
okay,
in
so
the
we're going to check Amy Lee first.
Amy Lee. So glad Ryan made this easy Brian made this easy for me. Amy Lee. Okay, I don't see her on the no list. So, okay, yep. All right, Amy.
Okay.
Hi, Jackie.
How's it going, Amy?
I'm good, thank you. Did I hear that I can ask the closing question?
No, there's no need to ask me a closing question. I want to save that for later.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so I have, now last week, you said that something like 98% of your closes is in the, this is a prospecting question. 98% of your closes is in the edification. So I'm just wondering, when I'm prospecting and I'm edifying my website, I just want to double check that I'm actually edifying my website properly.
Okay. Without giving me a company name or an individual name, then just edify your website to me.
Okay. So, Jackie, our website address is blah, blah, blah. And now the website is really great because the people who developed it are very professional. And so this is the site that you will be using if this information is appealing to you and you really want to generate that extra $1,000 working part-time from home so that you would be able to travel and stay at home with your kids. And so there's three videos on the website. They're about 10 minutes each. And one of the presenters is actually one of the top income earners with our company. So pay really good attention to what he has to say because the information is really powerful. And you might even want to jot down some notes of what he's saying. And you also want to jot down some questions as well so I can answer them for you later on. So let me give you my phone number. And then so then I will continue. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Overall, it's good. It's a little long. I would pull a little bit of that out of there. But meaning you don't have to say all of that. It's just a little bit long. But there's a couple of things you want to take out for certain. You do not need to tell me that the website is great, and you do not need to tell me that the information is powerful. That is your opinion on your website, and you're attempting to coerce that opinion on me. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
In other words, let me come to my own conclusion that it's great, and you've already told me that it's great when you've told me that this website is going to answer every need that I have. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning the information itself, and by you edifying how it's going to answer my need, all the already says, wow, this website is great. Make sense?
Okay.
Same thing with powerful. You mean this website is going to show me how I can make more money in my spare time, blah, blah, blah? That's powerful. You don't have to tell me the website's powerful. So don't put yourself in a position. This is common where anytime that you're trying to implore someone, and you're using those descriptive words that are just like your emotional description, then you're unintentionally selling people. You don't want to be selling them. Let them come to their own conclusions. One more thing that I will tell you. Overall, the information is good. You said all the right stuff. You just said a lot of it. But one of the things you can take out is do not tell me to write. You can tell me to take notes. Do not tell me to write down all my questions. You've just made it sound very hard, and you've just told me that I should have questions. Make sense?
I did, didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're going to create objections that might not happen otherwise. Let me come to you with questions, and then you deal with the question. Does that answer that question for you?
Yes.
Great job. Overall, though, the content that you had, all that content was good. It was just a lot of it. So I would just slim it down a little bit because what can happen when you're saying too much, again, it can all of a sudden turn into a sales presentation that you're trying to sell me on how great the website is. So just back it up a little bit, but overall the content's good. Just make those couple of tweaks and I think you'll be great.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Care if you can put Amy back in for me? And who do we have next?
Next up is Bradford Young.
Bradford Young?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I don't see him on the no homework list, so.
Yeah, he's good to go, Jackie.
Hey, Brad. Okay, good deal. Thank you, Brian. Bradford, you are up. What can I do for you?
Yeah, it's actually his wife.
Okay.
We're both on the call. Well, my question was, our company, like, promotes samples and then, like, you know, mail out the sample and then follow up with them and then, like, send them more information, like, to a live event or maybe something on the website or a magazine. And then on the third time, you know, follow up again and, like, close them, I guess. My question is, what's your thoughts on samples?
Well, first of all, what's your name, dear?
It's Amanda.
It's Amanda. Amanda, why are you asking me that question?
Because I send out a lot of samples, mm-hmm. and it feels like even though I tell them I'm going to call them back, but I'm dependent on the mail for one because it takes, you know, 3 to 6 days to get the package. And then yep. I tell them I'm going to call them after they get their package, but I feel like I'm kind of like chasing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've left a lot of messages.
You send out this sample 100% at your expense, your shipping costs and everything?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're paying for it?
Yeah.
Well, the good news is for the company, it keeps you buying volume. There's nothing necessarily wrong with samples. Here's how I would do it, though. I would prospect them normally, and you know in the no money objection in the closing?
Yeah.
When someone gave you the no money objection, that's who I would send a sample to. Meaning I would go through the closing script and I would do expose, involve, and upgrade, and those are the people that would get my samples. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it's really, it's with the ones we're doing is actually all warm market. You would still do that with the warm market people?
Warm market, okay, that's a different story. Yeah, I would send warm market a sample, but if they're warm market, so these aren't people that live near you?
No, they don't.
Okay, that's okay. Warm market, I would absolutely prospect them faster than depending on just a sample to get there. That's kind of what they call like the puppy dog prospecting method. And, you know, some companies teach, oh, yeah, all they got to do is taste it, and then they're going to love it. There's actually a company I know of that actually believed that so strongly that they made all their product free, and it literally put the company out of business because they thought if everybody tried the free sample and the company put the bill on that, if everybody tries a free sample, they're all going to do it, and this company's going to explode. It doesn't necessarily happen that way. The reason I'm okay with you mailing out samples to your warm market is because a lot of them will take the plunge and buy the products just because you're in their warm market, literally. And then once they invest in it, see, that's a whole psychological difference than a free sample. A free sample is like, yeah, it's all right. I kind of like it, you know. It's okay. But when I buy it, now it's like, I want to like it. There's a psychological difference there. Like, I want to like it. I just invested in it. So when they – now, that's someone who couldn't become a long-term customer, if nothing else. So are you calling up your warm market, and are you presenting the business opportunity or just the product?
Just the product.
Okay.
I mean, actually, with my warm market, I try to call them, and, like, nobody picked up, so I thought I would just do a test. And so I thought, well, what if I text them? So I started texting people, and, I form them and stuff, and then I send them a sample.
Okay. Once they agreed to receive the sample, right? You didn't try to, like, spring it on them.
Right. They agreed to receive the sample, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, that's a tip for anybody who has that business model, because I'm in this industry. I get random stuff mailed to me all the time, and it is a waste of their money because it always hits file 13, which is the trash can. Okay, good. I'm glad you got there. Because I'm one of those people, like, I'll agree to take your sample if you ask, if you're not in the DJC community, mind you. And you ask, I'm willing to take your sample, but make sure I have your permission. So you can – how is it working out for you with you doing this? How many times have you mailed out samples, and what's been the response?
Well, I just started. I did, like, 19 of them, and I haven't got a hold of anybody yet. I mean, it's been like a week and a half.
What I would recommend is you do the test market approach in Danny's script books, where you call them up and you let them know. So, like, this, you know, if you go to the prospecting script and you go to I'm trying to pull it up. Brian, you know what page that's on? Table of contents. I'm not seeing it right now. It's in one of these script books. I want to take a blah. What's that?
Page 16?
No, the test market for...
test market. I'm sorry.
Let me look one more time. Oh, there it is.
I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, 27 and 28. I would use that script if you wanted to send them a sample, if you're trying to lead strictly with the product. But I would really – here's what I would really recommend prospecting them over the phone. If they tell you no, meaning for the product. So you can go to Danny's retail script and you can – obviously you have some sort of nutritional – is it weight loss by chance?
It's just general products. I mean, there is a weight loss product too, but we don't really promote it.
Okay, that's fine. Danny has a retail script. I would adjust it for whatever you have, and I would attempt to close them on it on the spot. How much does it cost to buy it, whatever you're selling?
Depends on what they get. It could be anywhere from $100 to several hundred dollars.
That's nothing.
$500 to $1,500.
That's nothing. I would do the test market approach. I would ask them to you can go look at the retail script, and I would either do it – I would adjust the retail script and do it that way. I would – for one market, I would do the test market approach, and I would ask them to literally purchase it and give me their opinion before you go any deeper into this thing and, you know, let you know. And I would charge them. They're like, yeah, what do I need to do? Well, the bottle's $100 or whatever, you know. $300 or whatever. Or go here on the website, tell me, you know, which one you want to try if your website has two or three different options. And just assume they're going to buy, literally, because I promise you some of them will. And then if they don't or whatever, you know, then you can offer for them to try a sample and you can do that follow-up that you're already doing. But go for the customer immediately, because some of your warm market especially will go ahead and take the products on the spot. I promise you, my wife has sold an $800 air filter sight unseen to a guy sitting beside her on an airplane. So I promise you, your family will try your nutritionals. So
okay.
That's what I would do. You can still, you're not losing anything by asking for them to go ahead to test it out for you and to purchase it. See, a true test market is a purchase. That's a true test market. It's not really a test market just by giving them a sample, because you're really hoping that their body tells them that they love it. The problem with that is subjective. When someone buys something, that whole subjective meter goes off the roof, like goes out the roof. They are more likely to like it if they bought it. So I would definitely go for the immediate sell. And you can still follow up with your samples and do what you're doing now. But like you said, you're still having a hard time, 19 people, and you haven't even gotten back up with anyone. So people will return your phone call. If they say no, and some of those people aren't returning your phone call because they're afraid you're going to sell them. So if they say no and you say, well, you know what, why don't I just, you know, drop you a sample in the mail or whatever, they're going to say yes to that. And they're probably going to take your call. They're probably going to call you back or take your call when you call back because they've already told you no, and they know that you know the answer is no. So they feel like there's nothing to fear. All right?
Okay. Sounds good.
Good question. All right, Carrie.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I got to tell you, it's impressive that you mailed out 20 samples at your own expense. You haven't gotten anything back yet. That's impressive because a lot of people will mail out, when they do it the first time, they'll mail out like three, and no one's going to call them back, and they're going to decide to quit. You obviously haven't done that, so just keep going. And by the way, that method will work. It's just a longer, slower method. If you go for the sell up front, do the test market approach with them, you know, if one or two people purchase, that's going to make a significant difference in your business. If just one or two people out of your market purchases right away. And I promise, if you call your resource list of at least 200 people, $100, gosh, you're going to find lots of customers that would be willing to test it out. For a test market, totally willing to test it out. All right, we'll take at least one more. Carrie, who's up next?
Okay, next up is Daniel Howell.
Daniel Howell. So far. Yep, he looks like he's good. All right, Daniel, what can I do for you?
Hello.
Hello.
Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Thank you again, Jackie. I really appreciated tonight's talk. The question that I have is in regards to the presentation that I'm sending people to. Currently, I've got a 20-minute, and it's an audio message that they go to. It's a pre-recorded audio message. And my question is it better to do a shorter one, like an 8 or 10 minute, rather than the 20 minute, so that way I could follow up with them faster And, you know, what have you found, if at all, have you done any kind of test market in finding the length of a presentation being better, you know, one way or the other?
Yeah, good question. I actually have done some test market with this, and I actually have a friend of mine who's a who's done a lot, like hundreds of thousands of dollars in test marketing on this very thing right here. Let me you said, is it better? Maybe not necessarily. What is the price point of your product?
This is for the business presentation. So the top package would be $700, and say the low business package would be $370.
Okay. Is it missing any of the essentials?
In other words, it would still have the compensation plan. It would have the industry, the company, the product, the primary product, and the compensation plan. It would still have all of those, yes.
So what is the additional information on the longer version?
It's an expansion of those. In other words, one of the key things is it has more of Dani Johnson training. So I basically, because it was her presentation script that she has modified then for my particular company. And so one of those is the supplemental training part that's tacked on to that as well. It gives the explanation of, you know, if Einstein, you know, had a retention of this,
yep,
so on and so forth. So it's that kind of expanded out.
What is your current results using that script on the audio?
Right now with the audio, it's about 50% to where I can actually look, because I can actually track to see how long they listen to it. And so right now it's about 50% that go through it. However, I have a lower percentage that when I call that actually answer for the follow-up.
Wait a minute. 50% of the people listen to the entire 20 minutes, and you're saying that you are having less of those people are there. So you've done some testing on this on your own already.
Well, I mean, I don't have enough numbers to say solidly, but I'm able to, at least with the 20-minute, and that's why my concern is I can see, okay, this many people have gone through, but then when I go to call them back, those people who have seen the or listened to the entire thing aren't answering the call. And so I'm wondering if it was just an overload of information, too much, and therefore keep it short, simple, not provoking any questions or objections. So that way, then I can answer that during the follow-up script.
Okay, here's what I'm going to tell you to do. I'm going to tell you to keep testing, and here's why. You really need some deep numbers on this, and what the numbers we're talking about right now aren't good enough. Even if you told me I have 1,000 of each, and this is what I'm telling you. The most important is, once the people get started, what percentage of the people are getting started when they do answer, and what percentage of those people are going to first steps when they do answer? What percentage of those people are going to work? Because that ratio, it sounds like, so here's how I would test it. 1 week I would do one thing, and 1 week I would do the next. Or I would, you know, literally, I would send like 200 people to one, and then I would send 200 people to the other one. I always like to do more than 100. But send 200 people to one, send 200 people to the other one, and then kind of track where your numbers are at from there. And that still may not give you enough definitive information, depending on how many people are getting started in your company, et cetera. What you may find is, even though far less people are showing up for the on the longer presentation, you may find that the ones that are showing up are far more serious and far better, which in the long run can save you a lot of time, and that's not bad. Now, this is a difference in like the whole internet marketing, like marketing advertising world, because they're always, most of those guys are so focused on the front-end conversion. It's not about, one of the guys is the best I know. He runs a multi-million-dollar advertising company. He actually does advertising. And he told me that he's lost client after client after client because he's trying to teach them the lifetime value of customers is far more important than their initial conversions. So that's what I'm getting at. You may have a far better what's called lifetime value of customer on the longer version, but you might be exactly right. You might just be overwhelming people and you're losing a lot of people. So the only way to know for certain is to keep testing it. Have you made sales on the short version?
Well, that's just it. I don't have a short version, and so that would be the question is, because I actually had to create.
Why are you creating this? Does the company have nothing that people are making money on?
Not with a Danny Johnson style setup, no.
Oh, who cares? Who cares? The Danny Johnson style setup is after you get them started. Don't worry about that. Don't waste any money on this. You're telling me that the company has a presentation that people have already made money on?
Yes, they definitely do, obviously, since it's a multi-million-dollar company, so yes.
Which means there's probably people that have made millions of dollars of that presentation. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
Okay. So here's what you're doing. This isn't on purpose. But what you're doing is you're actually using Danny Johnson as an excuse to do one of her very fundamental tenets, and that is don't reinvent the wheel.
Okay.
You're literally using her as an excuse to break her own rule. So, stop doing that. Listen, Danny Johnson, if the presentation works, stick to it. That's fine. When people go to work with you, that's when they're going to get introduced to the scripts. That's where they're going to get exposed to Smarter Networker. You're going to be doing Danny Johnson all on the back end. It doesn't have to be on the front end at all. It can be done 100%. When I first started using Danny Johnson, it was all on the back end. In fact, the people who did the presentation that I was using, all of that stuff, they were so anti-Danny Johnson, it's not even funny. Literally. I mean, it was ridiculous, actually, how anti-Danny Johnson they were. But it didn't matter. I didn't care. I was an independent business owner. I didn't care what they said. I used their presentation because it worked. Now, when you go make six figures, are you making six figures now?
Nope.
When you make six figures, then you can experiment with your presentation, and then you'll have the additional time and money to experiment if you choose to. But there is no, literally, I am not trying to be ugly. I'm being direct, though, man.
No, that's fine.
Here's one question, if I may ask. Yep.
Because I know that my company primarily leads with the product, and I'm wanting to lead with the business. And so that's the thing. There is the way that people have been successful is leading with the product, and I'm wanting to actually lead with the business in that way. So would you say then I had a scrap leading with the business and go just with leading with the product and go that route then? Because that's where it abounds. There's a number of presentations, but everything, I would say the majority that I've seen, I have yet to see really anything good business presentation. And so that's the one caveat.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to caution you. You said I haven't seen anything good. Well, good is, just so you know, good is not based off your opinion. Good is anybody else making it work. Because plenty of people will tell me that Danny Johnson scripts are no good. But that's based off of their opinion that has no fruit or results. So that's the one caveat. But whatever. If, you know, you're correct and there's no presentation and it all leads with the product, then who cares? Lead with the product because you've got something that works. A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
Lead with the product just knowing the best business builders are people who fall in love with the product.
Yeah.
So without question. So lead with the product. You just know every single product purchaser that you bring on board, whether it's right away, next week, 30 days, you create a plan. Like one of the things Danny used to do, and Brian, I've heard him talk about this, they had a week where they did just 100% retail. Like they loved the product for an entire week. And then the next 3 weeks, they were taking all those people, they were basically, you know, getting them, introduce them to the business packs and all that stuff, getting them trained and all that stuff. So there's nothing wrong with leading with the product. Lead with the product. You just know once they're in. See, one of the things that's really frustrating when people lead with business is they forget that product and business are connected. So there are people out there, I work with some of them, because their family or their friend at church might not want to build a business, or because their friend at church is a really wealthy lawyer, they're afraid to tell them about what we do because they're like, oh, no, they're not going to want to build a business. Well, first of all, you don't know that, but I can't tell my new person that because they think they've got it all figured out. So, okay. The reality is if you lead with the product, a good percentage of those people will be open to the business.
Mm-hmm.
So lead with the product, close them on the product, and then circle back around to the business.
Okay.
And present the business to them. That's how you want to do it. And then they're going to, you know, get the first step. And by the way, the best thing about that is even if they say no to the business, you still have an ace up your sleeve. And that is, they're going to get exposed to that business. If they ever go to a convention or anything else, they're going to get exposed to the business because the company is still in the company literature. And you can still bring them to first steps just because you know that it can benefit their own. You've been to first steps, yes?
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness. I was going to freak out if you said yes. So you can still, because you know first steps does so much more than just business, right? It's so comprehensive,
absolutely,
that training. So you can still get them to first steps, and they're still going to hear about Monday, the Home Business Entrepreneur Workshop. So all that stuff can help reignite in them, like, wow, maybe I should be building this business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The number one reason most people don't build a business is because they don't think they can. So when you go through the training, all of a sudden your belief goes up, and you're like, wow, I think I might can do this. So, yes, if you got a presentation, lead with the product, lead with the product. Absolutely. Sign up product customers all day long. You can make a six-figure income on residually on customers alone. And then you're going to create your own system which basically is you're just going to call them up and prospect them.
Mm-hmm.
And your customers. And then you're going to get those, you'll have a far higher closing ratio on the business once they've already bought the product. So, and by the way, even if they get exposed to the product and they say no, you can still call them back and present the business to them. Because there are plenty of people who would build a business model and only use the product because it was part of the business model. And then they fall in love with the products and they can't do without them.
Mm-hmm.
So work it from both angles. That's exactly what you should be doing in this industry anyway.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I was definitely going to be doing product as well with it, but I also wanted to emphasize with the business. But no, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Jackie.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. All right, Carrie, if you can put him back in the class. I just want to say it has been my privilege to be here for the past 2 weeks. I can't wait for next week. I'm going to be here listening in. I'm extremely, extremely excited to hear, you know, Danny Johnson in the flesh doing a training. So I want to personally say thank you for being a part of these classes. Thank you for allowing me to be here to work with you. And I wish we had more time. Like we could probably do this for 6 weeks. But since I'm basically done with my portion here, obviously I'm going to be on next week, Thursday's class with you, and I'll be here next week listening in as a participant in the class. But here's what I want to tell you. Don't ever forget what you have in front of you. There are people walking. You pass people in the mall every day. You pass people in the grocery store every day. You pump gas beside people every day who wish they had the opportunity that you have in front of you. You're so much closer to accomplishing your goals and your dreams because you already are in. You're already building it. You're already getting trained. So don't ever forget why you got started. Don't ever forget where you want to go. Don't ever give up on your family. Most of you got started on this because you wanted to be able to make more income for your family. Most of you got started because you want to secure your kids' future or your grandkids' future. Most of you got started because you want to create some sort of legacy for yourself. Maybe you got started because you've been oppressed your entire life. You're one of those people that, you know, success wasn't in your genes. You didn't grow up in a wealthy family. Maybe you're one of those people that you're like me. You weren't the most intelligent. Maybe just like me, you failed out of college. Maybe you've went through far worse circumstances than even I can imagine or Danny Johnson can imagine, but you are now a part of an industry where you get to chart your own path. You get to build your own future. You get to create whatever you want to create. You have full control over the legacy. You have full control over your future. Nobody can stop you. This is your opportunity, literally, literally, to create the life that you want to live, to be able to create the future that you want to be a part of. The question when it comes to the home business industry, when the book is written on your future, the home business industry is either going to be an entire chapter or it could just be a footnote. But you get to determine what part this industry plays in your life. And I encourage you to absolutely make a decision right now that you're going to run this thing right where you're at for as long as you can, as consistently as you can. You're going to plug into this training. And it doesn't matter if you come out of this class getting amazing killer results, and many of you will, or if you go to First Steps and you get amazing killer results, that's great. Or if you're one of those people like me that you just had to be committed to small successes over time, because that's where I was at. The only reason I'm able to teach this class is because I've been through these doggone things probably a dozen times, literally, literally. I've been to tons of First Steps. So I finally gained the skills, but I gained the skills because I made a decision. I made a decision to be committed to my future. I made a decision to be committed to creating a legacy far in my future that's far different than the legacy that I've lived in my past. So I want you to make a decision now that you're going to be committed to building this thing, and you're not going to stop no matter what. You're going to be taking your product every single week. You're going to every single month, whatever, every single day. You're going to stay on those auto ships. You're going to utilize your product, obviously. You're going to be talking to people about your business. You're going to be promoting people to First Steps. You're going to be bringing people in part of the system. And you know what? Maybe you're one of those people that you haven't made money just yet. Just know that that word was only yet. It doesn't mean that you won't or you can't. In fact, I suspect that you absolutely will. The only way to fail in this industry, there's only two ways to fail in this industry. You need to understand that. And if you forget everything I've said, don't forget this. There's only two ways to fail. One is not to get started. Well, congratulations. That means 50% of the stumbling blocks that could cause you to fail, you've already conquered because you've already gotten started. There's only two ways to fail. One is not to get started, and the other one is to quit. So make up your mind now that you're going to stay focused. Make up your mind now that the Q word does not even enter your vocabulary or your thought process. Don't even say it ever again in your life. Make up your mind that it doesn't matter if you've just got one new person with you at First Steps and that's it. And maybe the next time around you've got one more with you. After a while, you're going to end up with two. And then before long, you're going to end up with three people with you at First Steps. And before long, you're going to have someone at First Steps that one of your team members brought with you, and that's going to be duplication in action. Now you're beginning to build a dynasty. Now it's starting to go somewhere. You can be somebody. You can accomplish something great. And you have the greatest vehicle in front of you. The only decision is, are you going to get in that vehicle? Are you going to turn the wheel? Are you going to mash the gas? And are you going to take it for a ride? I'm honored to be in play a small part in your future legacy. I am thankful that you allowed me to do that. Thank you for being a part of these classes. And I look forward to hearing you Thursday night, next week, and seeing you at the next First Steps of Success. Have a great night, and God bless.